Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We're having a great time talking about ever after. Happily ever after. Where are you going to live? Where are you going to be? What are you going to do? You know, when your father or mother, kids will ask you eventually, they'll hear about things. They see about people dying, things going on in the world, and sometimes the devil can try to scare them. It's like, what's going on? Well, I think parents ought to be able to teach them. You know, we're commanded to teach our children. We're commanded to train up the next generation. So you can't tell what you don't know. We've had loved ones pass away and have to find out some things. So we're in a series called Ever After. We're talking about six things. Number one, sin. Sin is the biggest problem of the entire universe. Sin has death attached to it. Why are people dying? Why they die early? Why there's horrible things? Why is there wars and famines? Sin. Why is the earth giving birth pains? Why, you know, why are there earthquakes? Sin. You know, God's not killing anybody off. God said, I have no plans to harm you, bunch of sinners. I got plans to prosper you, give you a future and a hope. God is the only good thing in the universe. All good things come down from the Father above. God's not trying to scare people into heaven. Romans 11 said he's trying to bring people to heaven. He convicts the unbeliever, but from his goodness. God's goodness leads to repentance, not God's tragedy. The devil is a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundant. It pretty much simplifies things. God's good, devil's bad. But sin, God will not tolerate sin. There'll be no sin in heaven. Sinners can't get around him. That's why we had a problem. Sin has separated us from God. We're going to have to live eternally somewhere else. But thank God, God had a plan. That's why Old Testament saints could look forward to the day Jesus would go to the cross and be raised from the dead and apply their faith. We look back on it. It's no different. Abraham, it was accounted unto him for righteousness because he believed God, and God counted him righteous for it. So Abraham, before Jesus was raised from the dead and resurrected, before then, all saints went into a place called paradise, into the bosom of Abraham, in a place in Sheol, in the middle of the earth. And there was comfort there, and there was rest there, and they had iced tea, and they talking around, and everybody knew everybody. Nobody was shocked. It was amazing. It didn't matter when you were born. They all knew each other. It wasn't like they had name tags. Now, who are you? It's like an eternity. We're going to know each other. We're going to be just like Jesus. On the other side of the Sheol, though, was Hades. That's where a place of torment. That's where the rich guy went. Tongue swollen up, hot, and flames of fire and torment. And that's where everybody stays. And so when Jesus came out of the grave, he brought some of the formerly dead people with him. He was the first fruit of those that would be raised from the dead, of the resurrection. And many formerly dead saints came out of the grave and walked around with him. And they're resurrected bodies, the kind that can walk through walls and do stuff, man. It's incredible. And so after that, paradise was emptied. So now the Bible says when a saint dies, when a believer dies, when a Christian dies, they go to immediately be in the presence of God. They go to heaven. Well, Hades is still there. The unbeliever that dies still goes to Hades. It's that place reserved for him. Death is a demonic angel, a minister of Satan that comes to get you when you die if you're not a believer. Escort you into Hades or hell, and in there the other demonic angel, minister of Satan, Hades, who is an individual. It is a person. Revelation talks about the horses that were coming, the horsemen of the apocalypse. Death's riding on one horse, and Hades is falling right behind him. And in the end, in Revelation, it says that death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. So it's amazing what you can learn in the Word of God. You ever had people get mad and tell you to go to hell? You ever heard that? Go to hell. Well, that's interesting. Where is it? Why? What am I doing to get there? People all say around the world, and that's why there's so many confusions, a lot of the doctrines and the religions of the world, that a loving God, if he is a loving God, would not send people to hell. God never sends anybody to hell. People choose to go there. Hell was created for one reason, it says. Created for Lucifer, devil, Satan, and his fallen angels. Never for man. Yet man will end up there if they don't choose to go to heaven. Jesus died for everybody. Everybody's salvation has been paid for. It's just, will everybody receive what's been paid for? Because you don't receive it, your name gets blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the only way you get to stay in heaven is if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a real important book. There are books in heaven. God is an accounting God. Did you know that? They're accounting angels. They write down everything we do, say, and think. Revelation 4 says, if I even think about God, an angel writes that down. God says, he sees my heart. I don't lie to God. He knows my intent, my motive, and my heart. That's what I'll be judged by. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Word of God so we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We can repent when we sin. We can forgive if we're sinned against. And we can get to the place where we don't get what they used to call spiritually constipated, where we get so mad at God, mad at people, the love of God cannot flow through us, which is wanting to do. So today we're going to talk about hell. So if you've got a pencil and a piece of paper, you might want to write this down. Some interesting things about hell you might want to know. So we're going to talk about it. Is it a real place? Yes, it is. And there's plenty of scripture to verify that. Number one, talk about this. This is the description of hell in the Bible. Number one, it is described in Matthew 25:41 as eternal fire. Never goes out, people. It won't exhaust itself. Number two, in Matthew 3:12, it's called unquenchable fire. Number three, Daniel chapter 12, it's called a place of shame and everlasting contempt. Number four, Mark chapter 9, verse 44, it is a place where the fire is not quenched. It's hot. Hell, it's hot. You ever wonder about that? The belly of the earth, still molten lava. You ever think about that and the correlation? Interesting. Number five, Luke 16, verse 23, hell is a place of torment and fire. Number six, 2 Thessalonians 1, 9, hell is a place of everlasting destruction. Does not end. It's not like you have a bad day and you busted your thumb or broke your leg or got burnt. Let me see if I can stress this. It's for eternity. You know what eternity is? Never ends. Ever. It's not like you live on this planet, well, one day I'll get old, tired, and I'll die. You don't die in eternity. It's forever. It's where your spirit and soul. It's forever. Do you understand that? It's forever. Every human that's ever existed, their spirit came from God and cannot die. No human spirit and soul can die. It lives for every person that's ever been conceived. Whether they made it out of the womb or not, is alive. Every spirit. The Bible talks about in Ezekiel that my flesh will return to the dust from which it came. My spirit returns to the God that gave it. No human exists without a spirit from God. And that spirit lives forever. Why? God lives forever, and God's spirit lives forever. My spirit that came from God lives forever. Everybody lives forever. Someplace. Where's that place going to be? We get to choose. Says this, number six, again, it's a place of everlasting destruction. Number seven, Revelation 14:10, it is a place where the smoke of torment rises forever and ever. Now, here's a really bad scripture, if you want to think of it this way. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. What does that mean? Well, when I read it, I think a lot of people are going to hell. Why? They choose not to go to heaven. It says this, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, throughout the Bible, there's always a remnant, a remnant. That's why the parable of the sower sowing the word, someone on good ground, some thorny, some stony, you know, some rejected it. It's like, you know, it just seemed like the word is always good, but the ground that receives it's very important. You have a heart to receive from God, you got a heart that's rebellious against God. So only the word of God can change it, convict you, make you want to repent. God leads the unbeliever out of his goodness. He's trying to lead us to repent and get right with him. God's trying to save us. God's not trying to kill us. God is not Santa Claus who has a list, checking it twice, trying to see out who's naughty and nice. Everybody's naughty people. Jesus didn't die for good people. There were none. Jesus died for doofus sinners because God loves sinners. Jesus loves sinners. God's not trying to kill sinners off because of the sin. God's not judging the world because of abortion, homosexuality, and other sin. God's trying to save sinners. Jesus did not get the dog snot beat out of him to get to heaven and get halfway through and get mad and start killing everybody off. The reason he went and got crucified and went into hell, the belly of the earth, was raised from the dead to save sinners. God so loved the world, sinners, that he sent his only son for sinners. He died for sinners, was raised from the dead for sinners. You understand that? People get the goofiest religious thinking when you go around the world. God loves people, trying to save them. God's not trying to kill them. Well, the hurricane, that's an act of God. A tornado, that's an act. Every insurance policy, that was an act of God. No, it wasn't. That's a stinking lie from the pit of hell and the devil. The devil's a thief and a murderer. God gives life. You ever read your Bible? That's why people are destroyed, for a lack of knowledge. You need to know the truth. Set you free. Keep you free. Really good. Listen to this, John chapter 14, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does that mean? There's only one way to heaven. There are not many ways to heaven. A lot of famous people on TV said there's a lot of ways to heaven. Those are ignorant people, never read their Bible. Only one person paid the price for me to go to heaven, and that was Jesus, the Son of God, who came to earth as a man to take my place. Nobody else did. You don't get to heaven by working your way, but being good, you know, helping old ladies cross the street, not cussing, paying your taxes. Get to heaven because you receive the grace of God, God's Son. It's our faith in what he did for us. Now, in hell, there are different words used for the Bible. Now, you might read through the New Testament. It'll say hell a lot, but you have to study. The Bible does not say read. It says study it. There's different words for hell, okay? Sheol, which is the belly of the earth, hell and paradise. Hades, which is what we call hell, hot, tormenting. And then there's Gehenna. Okay, now, Sheol and Hades in the Greek and Hebrew are temporary places. They're not forever. You go to hell. Well, that's a temporary place. Hell is a temporary place. Sheol, the place of paradise, that's a temporary place. You understand? Even when Jesus came out of the grave, we go to be in the presence of God. Talking about there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. Now, Gehenna translated to hell, is the lake of fire. That's a permanent place. Gehenna is a permanent word for a permanent place that lasts forever. So say you go to hell, well, you're not going to be in hell forever. Eventually, you come out to be judged at the great white throne judgment. Then you go into the lake of fire if you don't know Jesus. So let's look at this. We're going to watch these words. I'm going to give you some scripture to kind of help you out right here. Psalm 9, verse 17 says this, "The wicked will go down to the grave." That word grave there is Sheol. They go down and they go into the belly of the earth. We go down to the Sheol. Now watch this. And this is the fate of all, watch this, of all who ignore God. You're going into the belly of the earth if you ignore God. You're not going to be in the presence of God. It says this, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus speaking, "I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." The word there for grave is the word Sheol and Hades. I hold the keys of death and hell. I control them. They don't control anything. I am God. I created everything. Those are temporary places. Now, here's the word for Gehenna. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. This word for hell is Gehenna. This is the permanent place. Jesus speaking said this, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the place of unquenchable fires." That is Gehenna, the unquenchable fires of hell. You don't want to go there because you stay there forever. Luke chapter 10, verse 15. And then, watch this, I love these things. "And then Capernaum, which salted to heaven, shall be thrust down into hell." Hades. Like, man, you guys are going to be judged. So, Hades is a place of confinement for the departed spirits. Revelation 6, verse 8. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him that sat on it was Death, and Hades followed behind." Death and Hades are beings, people. They're demonic beings. Again, you die, death is waiting on you. It's a spirit. Take you in. Remember the old thing, they make fun of it on movies, a guy with a hood. That's not what he looks like, but it's a dark angel, minister of Satan, coming to take you. Hades, that's a dark. Once death comes to, if you're not saved and you die immediately, the angel of death comes to get you, takes you down into Hades, place of torment. Once you get there, the being Hades takes you and then takes you into your place in Hades, because there's different levels of hell, different levels of heaven, believe it or not. Now watch this. I love this. John chapter 8, verse 51. "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Now listen, the word death here is not just, does not mean the departure of the body. Everybody physically dies unless you live to the rapture. He says, here's what he says. Now watch this. We've got to watch the word here. Says, "Everybody who keeps my word will never see death." He's talking about the angel of death. You will not go into Hades. If you keep my word, you go to heaven immediately and be with me. You will not see death. You'll die physically, but you won't see the death angel. You will not. If you keep my word, you will not see the death angel. You're going in to be with me. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. "The last enemy that will be destroyed on earth is death." Because it says in Revelation 20, verse 14, "Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire." Now, I want to read you something out of Revelation. Most people don't read this. I love to read it. I ought to read the Bible. The Bible's full of good stuff. This is Revelation chapter 20. I want to read from the New Living Translation. I like this. I still study out of my King James. I've not thrown it away, you people that love King James. I just can't read it. I don't speak King James. I do study it. I don't read it. But I like the way this reads. This is Revelation chapter 20. Jump into verse 7. Because, listen, here's what's going on. Let's give you the timeline. We are in the church age. It's called the last days. It began on Acts chapter 1, verse 7, when Jesus came out of the grave. Church age began. Had never existed before. It had been a mystery. It had been hidden. There's no prophecy about the church in the Old Testament. It was a plan of God that he kept hidden. Had he revealed the plan, the devil never would have crucified Jesus. Crucifying Jesus, cooked his goose. Got all that? Okay, now we're in the church age. It's winding down. When will we know you're coming back to get us, Jesus? Well, there'll be signs. There'll be earthquakes and wars and famines and rumors of wars. But this is not the end. It's just it's getting close. It's sort of the beginning of the end. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Heady, high-minded, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, disobedient to parents. It's got a whole list of people. It's like we're not ignorant of what's going on in the last days. In the last days, God said, I'll bring Israel back home. Well, Israel hadn't been home for 2,000 years until 1948. In the last days, Jesus will come sit on the throne of Jerusalem. You can't do that if the Jews don't have it. The Jews did not get Jerusalem in 1967, so there are signs right now that we are in the last days. And that's a good thing. Jesus said, please do not panic. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, do not panic in the last days. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, encourage each other. Comfort one another. Jesus will come get you. Your job is just to occupy the earth till I come. There are people that are trying to scare us about the last days. This is the greatest hour of the church. God poured out on all flesh, sons and daughters prophesying, dreaming dreams, having visions, hearts of the fathers, fathers of the children. God's doing an incredible thing. But if you don't read the word of God, you don't know that. You're scared. The Bible says church should never be afraid. There's no spirit of fear. We're what's happening now. We're saving a lost and dying world like somebody saved us. We're doing the work of the ministry. We're helping the poor and the orphans, the widows, the unemployed, the starving. We're a blessing to our neighbor. We're nice to people that are mean and snob because it's the love of God that leads men to repentance. We got a great job right now. We're not going to go broke. We're not going to go under. The place ain't going to blow up. Somebody said the other day, said, you know, Jesus said there'll be earthquakes in various places. I said, you know, it came on the national news the other day that Yellowstone had 500 earthquakes in 1 week, just less than 2 months ago. 500, Yellowstone shook. And they said on the news that, here's what the archaeologist said, if this volcano goes off, it will destroy one third of the earth. I'm not making this up, okay? This is just secular news. One third of the earth will be destroyed if this thing explodes. That's interesting. Revelation talks about one third of the earth being destroyed. I don't know if it's the same deal. I found it coincidental. My kid said, what should we do, Dad? Man, the Yellowstone's going to blow up and destroy a third of the earth. I said, we ought to go rent a bagel and go out there and see it. Because it can't happen while we're here. Because we're preaching the gospel. It's like Revelation 13 talks about a one world economy coming. It is. Not the devil. God's going to set it up. The Antichrist will come and he will rule the world. And you won't buy, sell, build, or plant unless you got the mark of the beast. That's going to happen. God said so. But not now. Jesus said right now it'll be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the days of Noah. In the last days, you will eat, drink, marry, giving in marriage, have parties, buy, sell, build, plant. It will be. Here's what he says in Luke. He said, it will be business as usual to the day I come get you. He said, when I come, nobody's going to be looking for me. It's going to be a time of peace. The world won't even be looking for me. Right now, a lot of people, and Jesus is coming, we're all going to hell. It's going to blow up and economy's going to collapse. No, it's not. You can't preach the gospel if you're broke. He said, there'll be lots of children and plenty to feed them. You'll be the head, not the tail, above, but not beneath, except in 2009 when there's a recession, and then you're going broke with everybody else. God's word's true. That's why it's real important what you think. You know, poverty and prosperity are conditions of your soul. 3 John 2, I wish above all things you prosper in health as your soul prospers. Joshua 1:8, if you meditate my word day and night and say what I tell you to say, you'll prosper and have good success. Psalms 1:1-3, if you meditate my word, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf won't wither. You won't cast forth your fruit before the season. Everything you do will prosper, except in 2009 during the recession, and it won't work then. When the recession's over, then I'll kick back in. But can't do anything during the recession. How stupid is that? You understand how important it is you believe the word of God? That's why you really ought to know about hell. It's going to happen. Church age is winding down. Pretty soon the gospel is going to be preached to everybody. Jesus is going to call our name. We're going home in the rapture for 7 years. We're going to go up there, get up there and have the resurrected bodies. We're going to be with Jesus, sit around, talk over old times, have testimonies, meet other people. Then after 7 years, while God's dealing with the Jewish people during the tribulation, which is a Jewish time, not a Gentile time, that's when the time of the Gentiles ends, Jewish time picks back up. It's the vision that Gabriel gave Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, 490 years of Jewish time left, but 483 is into it. Messiah will show up, he'll be cut off, and then there'll be 7 years left. What does it mean, cut off? It means the church age will be born. And we've been going in the church age for 2,000 years, God trying to save a lost and dying world. That's why it says in 2 Peter 2:14, we've heard about Jesus coming forever. Where is he at? Well, he's being real patient, the Bible says in verse 14. He does not want the wicked to die and go to hell. He's trying to save everybody. But there is going to come an end. When that happens, Jesus will call our name. The Father says, okay, we're through. Go get him. We hear our name call, graves open up, boom, we go up, meet them, we go to there, and we go to heaven for 7 years to have a marriage supper while God deals with the Jewish race, and hell will descend on this earth. The Antichrist can't even be revealed till the church is gone, so quit trying to guess who he is, because God's not going to show you. He cannot be revealed until we're gone. Just go to work, pay your bills, unstop your toilet, help you catch the algebra, mow your grass, cook a dinner, Be normal. Quit being weird. Okay? We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. And we know that, the Bible says. We covered that thing. We got a great future. Just occupy till your name called. Go be a blessing to somebody. You understand that? Now, at the end of the tribulation, though, Jesus comes down with the saints. Book of Jude. We come back on our horses with Jesus to judge the ungodly. It's going to be ugly. This isn't a parade. Then Jesus is going to restore everything. We're going to rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. We're going to rule and reign with him. Devil's going to be dropped into a bottomless hole. There'll be no devil. People be born during the millennial time. It's going to be like a regular thing. People going to buy, sell, build, and plant, go out and eat at a restaurant. It'll be normal. At the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus is going to let the devil back out, and he's going to stir the nations up and bring every nation to Jerusalem to try to kill Jesus and the people of God. And the Bible says fire will rain down from heaven and he's going to burn every one of them up. And then it says that we're going to throw the devil along with the Antichrist and all the ungodly didn't serve God into the lake of fire. Even hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. Death will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that is the end of all things right there. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to reign with Jesus forever and be creative and do things your mind can't even imagine, the Bible says. Now listen to this. This is Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. It says this, when the 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be cast, watch this, will be let out of his prison, and he will go out into the world, watch this, to deceive the nations. Gog and Magog. You know, we talk about Gog and Magog about Russia. Well, this is after the millennium. And just so you understand this, you know, Gog talking about, so it'll be there after the millennium. It's in the Bible. Got it in line. Just read the book. It's always good to read the book. And so here's what he says. He said, to deceive the nations, he would gather them together for battle, a mighty army, numberless as the sand of the seashore. Watch what the devil do. Stirred up the entire earth to come against God. Jesus is sitting there. Yet the devil stirs up people to come against Jesus himself. And I saw them, and they went into a broad plain on the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city of Jerusalem. And fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. That means they're all dead. Now then the devil who had deceived them was cast into the lake of fire along with the Antichrist, the lake of burning sulfur, along with the beast and the false prophet, and there they would be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw, now watch this, this is where it gets a little scary. This is not your favorite scripture. This was not on your refrigerator. And I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it, and the earth and the sky fled from his presence. And they found no place to hide, and I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, and recorded as recorded in the books, and they gave up its dead. The sea gave up the dead, and death and the grave, and they gave up the dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. And then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. And this lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, what does that mean? Well, eventually even hell itself is thrown into the lake of fire. It's like, what happens then? Well, that's forever. That's why you don't want to think about it. That's going to last forever. And so what's happening? Well, there is a place God made just for Lucifer and his angels. But people will go there. And they shouldn't, because their salvation was paid for. They should go to heaven. That's why we read about heaven. Now, in hell, just so you understand, let's do a little summary here. Your personality remains the same. You're going to remember everybody. You know, you're going to have conversation with other people. There's awareness of what you're going through. I'm hot. I'm miserable. Because you will have your resurrected body. Did you know the great white throne judgment, there are no Christians there? The great white throne judgment is just for unbelievers that came out of the tribulation. It's for people who died from Noah's time up to now. All unbelievers come out of the grave in a resurrected body and stand at the great white throne judgment. They're not, this is the judgment. They're all going to hell. They're not saved. That's why they're there. Nobody goes out of the great white throne judgment to heaven. Those judgment seat of Christ, those are saved. Those are the ones that got saved. There'll be people saved out of the millennium, but they're not at this one. Those get to go immediately and be immediately in the presence of God. That's why if you don't read the Bible, you confuse yourself. Now look at this. I love this. Isaiah 14, verse 9. This is the king of Babylon. Talking about the king of Babylon. Hell from beneath is excited about you. Now remember, hell's a demonic angel. He's talking to the king of Babylon. Hell underneath is excited about you. To meet you at your coming. Hades is waiting on you. They're excited. You're coming down it. Even the death angel gets excited. Yes, he's coming. King of Babylon's coming. We got him. Good Lord, this would make a great movie. It stirs up the dead for you and all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their throne all the kings of the nations who have gone to hell and are down there. Said they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Well, welcome, King of Babylon, to hell itself. Everybody's going to know everybody. You go back in Ezekiel 32, it talks about the king of Egypt. In Ezekiel 32:1 talks about the other false kings that went down there. And it says this, in closing, it's talking about, it said, Jesus died for us. Psalm 16 said, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall know and not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. And he's talking about the end of time. This is the prophecy about Jesus going and dying for us. Said, my flesh will not see corruption. Jesus' body didn't even begin to rot. They talk about how Jesus went not only into paradise, but he went also down into Hades itself and preached to those in prison. People have written books that Jesus didn't go to hell. He's God. Jesus was a man. He was God, but he became a man. Do you understand that? Somebody had to pay our price. Jesus went all the way into the belly button, so the bulls of hell surrounded him. But 3 days later, God brought him out. He was raised from the dead. If Jesus is raised from the dead, we get to be raised from the dead. Death will not touch us. We're going to live forever in heaven with God. God loves us so much. He saved us. He blessed us. We have a home in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? God bless you.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.